This is the story of the one. Who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Travis Chappell, and I believe that if you can connect with the best, you can become the best. So after creating 800 podcast episodes about building your network, I've come to realize that networking is really just making friends, if you're doing it the right way anyway. Join me as I make friends with world-class athletes like Shaquille O'Neal, entertainers like Rob Dyrdek, authors like Dr. Nicole LaPera, former presidents like Vicente Fox, or even the occasional FBI hostage negotiator, billionaire real estate mogul, or polarizing political figure. So if you want to make more friends that help you become a better version of yourself, then subscribe to the show and keep on listening, because this is Travis Makes Friends.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Travis Makes Friends podcast. My name is Eric. I'm Travis Chappell's producer. And on today's Freestyle Friday episode, we're taking it back 1 year to when Travis appeared on the Playbook podcast with David Meltzer. It's not often you get to hear Travis in the guest seat on this show, and I thought this one would be a great way to get you to know a little bit more about Travis's background. He talks a lot about how he grew up in a very strict religious circle. He talks about consistency and the importance of that, and ultimately talks about networking, which is just a fancy word for making friends. And I think it's all just so appropriate for today's episode of the Travis Makes Friends podcast. So without further ado, let's hop into today's episode featuring an interview with Travis Chappell and David Meltzer. Let's get into it.
Well, you are certainly a guy who I want to learn the playbook from because, you know, like many of us, you grew up with nothing and you had quite a journey to get to be the founder of Guestio. Let's just start with what is Guestio, because I am just admittedly an investor, an advisor, and I don't think there's a company I'm more excited about, especially being in the space that I am, than Guestio. What is Guestio?
Yeah, Guestio is essentially a guest and talent booking marketplace for people like you, people like me who have shows and are looking for high quality guests to interview for those shows. But maybe they're not as blessed in the network area as some of us might be. And so you can go to Guestio and book some of your favorite potential guests for your shows if you just have a little bit of budget for them. So think of it kind of like Cameo, but instead of buying a 30-second happy birthday shout out, you're buying a 30-minute interview with somebody that you really want to interview for your content channels.
And it's amazing because just like Cameo, it goes in, the range is huge. So, I mean, people book me from Guestio, and people, bigger names will come and come onto my show as well, but also just shows that are just starting out that don't have an audience or a network. Like you said, it facilitates the amazing, the whole array of, you know, all the shows here for Blue Wire. They could put there to someone that's just a startup that needs some real credible content.
Exactly. Yeah. Credible. I mean, that's the key word right there is good, credible content. Cause when you're first getting started, you know, like I was back when I got started, nobody knows who you are. And it's hard to get people to know who you are, let alone care about what you have to say. And so the way that my workaround for that when I got started was, well, I just go and talk to people who people do care about hearing from. And then eventually they started caring about what I said too.
Yeah. And that's exactly, and it works every day. And, but it does take time and it take repetition. And if you don't have the time or the reputation, it's easier just to go ahead and Guestio them on. Now, the influences to get to where you are, you know, because I love to talk about the entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah.
And I've known you and your journey for quite a while. My parents have had a great influence on my career, good and bad. What type of influence has your parents had on your career?
I mean, definitely good in a lot of ways. My dad was or is a real estate agent. So growing up, I saw, you know, what it's like to be 100% commission salesperson, where if you don't work, you don't eat. And, you know, all my whole life growing up saw that firsthand. But on kind of the con side of the way that I grew up was that I also grew up in a very, my producer's going to get mad at me because I don't use the word cult, even though he thinks it's a cult. I just say religious bubble, but it's very cult-like, you know, a lot of similarities between that and the way that I grew up. So just to give you an idea of the bubble that I'm talking about, I graduated kindergarten, eighth grade, high school, college, all on the same campus. So not even the same, like, you know, denomination or zip code, the same campus, which was also the campus that I went to church on. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, because we had soul winning on Saturdays, which is like knocking doors and inviting people to come to church. Basically, every day of the week from the time that I was in kindergarten all the way through the time I was 21 was lived on this one 40-acre campus, its own little mini compound, like a city within a city almost. And that was how I grew up. So there was a lot of that influence as well coming into adulthood, where I got to the end of college. I was graduating with a degree in Bible and church ministries, realized I didn't want to be doing that at all. But at that point it was kind of already too late. You know, I was graduating. And so I got married before I graduated. I had a wife. I bought a house right after I graduated. So I had a mortgage to pay, and I didn't have the ability just to go sleep on my mom's couch until I figured out what I wanted to do with my life. I had to figure it out right now. And so I just did the only thing I knew how to do at the time, which was door-to-door sales. And I did door-to-door for several years after that, paying the bills, trying to figure out what I was going to do next.
Because you were used to knocking on doors.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was the solar company that was recruiting out of our college was, you know, they were really smart for going to a college full of a bunch of door young knockers. Kids who didn't. Yeah, right. Yeah. We didn't party on the weekends. You know, we didn't do any of that stuff because we were all, you know, very stuck in that world. So, you know, what else is there to do on your weekends other than go try to make a little bit of extra cash by knocking on doors and selling stuff?
And, you know, one of the pieces of being an entrepreneur is not listening to what other people think. Hmm. But it seems like to me, from the time you were born until you graduated college, you were only worried about what everybody else wanted for you, not what you wanted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How did you shift that paradigm?
It was not easy at all. It was very much, I feel like probably something that I'm still working through psychologically in terms of just trying to get over the thought of what other people have for me. But eventually I got to this point in my life, you know, in my early 20s, where I realized that the degree that I had was useless. The experience that I had was basically useless because I was a door-to-door salesperson. Nobody would hire me. I was applying for regular sales jobs. Nobody would hire me. And so I was like, well, my degree is useless. And now the thing that I know how to do really well, nobody seems to care about that either. So what do I do? And it was at that point where I finally started looking in the mirror and realizing that, look, regardless of what everybody else thinks, I'm the only person that has to wake up every single day, look at myself in the mirror and be me. So I literally cannot expect to live a happy and fulfilled life if my daily actions are built to make other people happy instead of built to make me happy. And that's when a lot of those things, I think, started to change. And I started to, on purpose, search out those new directions.
You know, I didn't know your background, but I've known you for a long time. And I've always thought of you as a hustler, right? Someone who can enjoy the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of your own potential. So, you know, I have this theory about hustling. You know, it's either born in you or something happens that you are bottomed out, that you have to become a hustler, and it's found in you. How is that hustle for you? Where did it come from? How did it evolve?
I think I was definitely born with some of it, because if I look back even in that world where, you know, it's a toxic relationship with money, the way that I grew up from a lot of the other outside influences. My parents were better with it, but a lot of the other influences were not. And so coming out of that, I still, even in that world, was still trying to hustle and make a dime here and there. I started a landscaping company before my senior year of high school. I was bringing stuff to school to sell to the other kids. I think that was like born in me. But then in early adulthood, like I said, when I had a mortgage to pay and I had a wife and I had bills and all these other things, and then I knew that I wasn't going to be in ministry and I knew that I didn't want to keep doing door to door forever. That was a big back against the wall moment where I think that hustle was just kind of reignited under a different passion to figure out what my potential in life really was and not just worrying about hustling to make the next dollar. Because, you know, door to door is a hustle. Don't get me wrong. 100% commission door to door is a grind.
Yeah, it
is. You know, but I knew that that wasn't going to be what I was meant to do. And so at that point, I think it just kind of reignited it in a different direction in the personal development, self-education space. Because that was the first time I'd ever really downloaded a podcast or read a book, was at that time in my life where I was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing here. I got to figure this out, you know?
One of the interesting things in my career was I became a faith-based entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And that faith has taken on many different forms, but that faith has always allowed me to bring my higher power of thinking.
This episode of the show is brought to you by SelectQuote. I want to talk to you about the future for a minute. Just like you, I've worked hard to keep my family comfortable and financially secure, but unfortunately, I can't predict the future, and neither can you. Your hard-earned assets could vanish in a heartbeat if you died suddenly, leaving your family's financial security at risk. But here's what you can do. Protect your family's future with a customized, affordable life insurance policy through SelectQuote. Look, guys, I know this is something that's not super fun to talk about, but as somebody who recently had a cancer scare, I can assure you that it felt very, very good in the back of my mind to know that whole time that I was covered, that my family was taken care of, that we had a really strong life insurance policy that we set up a few years ago. It's not something you want to think about all the time, but it is something that should be a priority for you. SelectQuote is one of America's leading insurance brokers with nearly 40 years of experience helping over 2 million customers find over $700 billion in coverage since 1985. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal, one-size-fits-all policies that may cost you more and cover you less, while SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. So get the right life insurance for you for less at selectquote.com/friends. Go to selectquote.com/friends today to get started. That's selectquote.com/friends. This episode of the show is brought to you by Indeed. We are driven for the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search is not to search at all. It's actually to match and match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. It's your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. So ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so that you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. No, 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites as well. And one of the things that I love about using Indeed is the matching feature, because we all know the best way to find people for a job that you're hiring for is to have somebody else go out and find people who are the exact match, because it's not just somebody who has the experience or can do the job. It also is like, you know, a culture fit. You got to find people with the right values and all that type of stuff. And so Indeed's matching service is really helpful for that. In fact, we're using it right now to hire for a franchise that we're opening out here in Las Vegas. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. So join more than 3.5 million businesses, including my own, that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility over at Indeed.com/Travis. Just go to Indeed.com/Travis right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Travis. Terms and conditions apply. You need to hire. You need Indeed.
Bringing my ideas to life. And Guestio is a manifestation in my mind. I've seen historically and evolutionary how you've manifested, you know, this company through building your own career, seeing a need, fulfilling the need, and materializing the need into a company with a product, solution, and service all in one. It's terrific. What type of influence did your faith, because you were forced into faith, how much is it a faith-based entrepreneurship that you're bringing your ideas to life, or do you see some other type of methodology to the manifestation? Because you're really good at it. You bring ideas to life, but you have a certain methodology. I was wondering if you have ever thought about how have you utilized faith or no faith in order to effectuate that?
Yeah, you know, I think that it has a direct influence over the way that I view the world, because regardless of your religious beliefs, when I look at what that pastor did at the place that I grew up at, it was still a manifestation, bringing something to life that didn't exist before, because he took over the church when there was 12 people in it. And then by the time I left, there was 7,000 members of the church, 1,000 student college, and 500 kids in the K-12, all private enrollment with only church members, and a publication ministry, and, you know, best-selling books and all this stuff that came out of nothing. And I think that I saw a lot of that growing up. And I think the part where they messed it up was the almost over-glorification of man in those contexts, rather than the amplification of the, you know, religious side. But I think what I was able to do with that kind of in business was use those things as a framework to be able to develop into. And so a lot of these, you know, personal development things and even business development things were a lot of things that I saw firsthand growing up. And I think that had a major influence on the way that, you know, I started navigating throughout my own career. But in terms of the actual, you know, spiritual fruition of the things that I put together, I don't really look at it as much of a faith-based practice, because it's, to me, it's so much more practical than that. Like, it's something that I can really wrap my mind around, and it's really just kind of simple to understand. It was just like, I took action in a direction. I realized there was a big problem that I had that a bunch of other people were also having, and that you could solve that problem if you could figure out some sort of a way to fulfill that problem with a product or a service. And then, you know, started with a little bit of service based and then started turning that more into a product. And I think that it was just so measurable. But the manifestation of that, I think, is something that I definitely saw a lot of growing up.
And how difficult was it for you to learn how to network when you have such a closed bubble environment? You're an extreme networker. You know, I meet very few people that I feel understand the emotional attachment and the credibility issues involved in networking, finding open minds. And you seem to have that knack, which is one of the reasons I wanted to invest in you, because you get it and your network is huge and I know it will exponentially grow. How did that impact what you were doing?
Yeah, that was a direct correlation of the problems that I faced immediately after leaving the world that I grew up in, because it was very much, as soon as I kind of left that world and figured out my own path forward, you know, that was before the path existed, but it was right after I kind of broke ties with everything that I grew up with. And when you leave that world, you know, it's not like everybody's hoping that you fail, but a lot of people just don't really care anymore. Like, you're not about their mission, so they're not about helping you achieve your mission.
Did that include your parents?
My parents, no, they were always supportive, but they didn't really a lot of times know how to help, you know, guide me, because they knew what they were good at. And outside of that, there wasn't anything that really existed in their mind. And so, and we still came from a super small town, you know what I mean? So there wasn't a lot of like stuff that came out of that. So when I tell people, like, my podcast was called Build Your Network for almost 700 episodes, almost 2 million downloads, talked to a lot of awesome people. The reason that Build Your Network meant so much to me is that I had to personally go through that process, because when I started in the business world, I had zero connections. Like, I'd never even met or like shook hands with a millionaire, let alone had a friend or a person I could text or call or ask a question to or sit down and grab coffee with or something like that. I didn't have anything like that. So when I was starting that, it was quite literally starting from scratch. And I think that's what forced me to learn the process, because I knew from an intellectual standpoint that if I had any chance of trying to make it, the best way to do that was to go get around people who already had and learn from them. I just didn't know anybody. So I was like, well, I probably should get good at trying to go learn how to connect with these people, so that if I have any chance of making it, it's going to be a direct correlation to the amount of people that I can get in front of who've already done what I want to do. And so that it forced me to start this podcast about networking. And it was a discovery process for myself. It wasn't even just something that I could do for other people. It was like almost a selfish deep dive into the topic, because I knew that that's what I needed most at the time.
And, you know, one of the reasons I decided to invest and be an advisor to Guestio and invest in you is that we share another value that a lot of people, I think, discount. And you definitely don't. You understand that consistency is the hobgoblin of conscious competency, of being able to take something from the conscious to the subconscious to create a frequency from that. And I may use different vernacular than a lot of people understand. Another way that I think I've heard you put it to me is, I can do shit over and over again. You're just consistent.
Yeah.
And that consistency compounds itself and it aggregates itself and it exponentially allows you to grow. How important is consistency in what you do? And that seems to be something you probably learned from a young age, being in that bubble. How important is that consistency? And did you learn it at a young age?
I think the consistency is everything. And I think that I learned it in a intangible way growing up, but probably more of a conscious, tangible way in the last few years, by looking at people like you, people that I looked up to that and respected in the content creation world, especially in content creation, that were painfully consistent. You know what I mean?
Thank
painfully
you. I think that is consistent. A compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it is.
And, maybe I'll take that as a subtitle under the playbook. Painfully consistent, the playbook.
It just happens that way, man. And at the beginning, it was very painful for me because nobody listened. Like, nobody knew who Travis Chappell was. Nobody, you know, gave a shit about what I had, what I was up to. Nobody cared. And honestly, rightfully so. I hadn't earned the right to demand attention to begin with. And so it was painful for a while putting out, I was doing 3 episodes a week on my show when nobody was listening. Like, 3 interviews every single week is a difficult release schedule to keep up, even when you have a bunch of people who are listening to your show. But when you're putting in that much work and it's like crickets every time you release an episode, it's that much more difficult to get back up the next week and start recording more episodes and flying out to guests and making sense of these expenses that don't even really make sense on paper because you can't track the ROI, but you just have faith that it's going to come back in some point in the future. Like, that's painful consistency right there. But I think that it's everything. And then once you do it one time and you start to get on the other side of the pain, you start to realize that that's really the point where most people give up, is they're not willing to be painfully consistent. So they don't get to the reward at the other end. I liken it to playing the guitar, because when I first started learning playing the guitar, I literally, Dave, used to think to myself, maybe I'm just one of those people that can't learn the guitar,
right,
you know, because like it was literally painful on my fingers to keep the strings down. And I would try to strum a chord and it would just be buzzing and making all these weird sounds. And I was like, this sucks. Like, it's not fun to practice. It's not fun to like play this music like I thought it was going to be. Maybe I just can't play the guitar. And then after like 3 months, something magical happens. And you get these little things on your fingers called calluses. And then when you press down on the strings, now all of a sudden the strings stay down. It doesn't buzz. And you have a clean, you know, chord. And then you can play another chord. And then your chord transitions get better. And then you're like, oh, this is actually kind of fun. Most people will not build the calluses. And that's what consistency does, is it builds up those calluses. It allows you to be able to move on to the next step of the process.
I love that. Build the calluses. From Bubble to Billions, founder of Guestio, which I'm an advisor and gladly an investor in. Please check them out at Guestio, especially if you have a podcast or need any guests at all, small or large, it doesn't matter. We're here at Blue Wire Studios at The Win. I'm David Meltzer. Thank you so much. This is The Playbook.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks for spending some time with me and my friends. If you want to be better friends with me, then head over to travischappell.com/team to subscribe to my free newsletter, Your Friend Travis, where I share what's on my mind about life, building a business, raising kids, being married, and anything else I would normally share with my close circle of friends. That's travischappell.com/team. And my biggest ask of you, since I'm sharing my friends with you, is to share this episode with a friend of yours that hasn't listened to the show yet. Then leave us a quick 5-star rating in Apple Podcasts and in Spotify. It would mean the world to us, as it helps us make sure that this show continues to be more valuable to you. Thanks in advance, and I'll catch you on the next episode.